Morning, Rabbi Isai. So we are in the 14th meditation in Shaar Cheshbon HaNefesh. And the 14th Cheshbon for a person to improve himself is to think about the fact that we have Rikshais Ava Unetiyo Tshuka. We have feelings and emotions of love and yearning towards any person who makes the impression on us that they love us. This is a natural response, as Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, chapter 27, Pasuk Yutes 19, Kamayim Haponim, Laponim, Kein Leiv Adam LaAdam. Just as Mayim Haponim, the surface of water, Mayim Haponim, the water surface, reflects the face, so too does one heart reflect another heart. It is a natural phenomenon. Just as according to the law of optics, the way light bounces back off of a polished surface, you're going to see your face in the mirror, so too the love you have for somebody will be reflected in their heart, and their love for you will be reflected in your heart and will bounce back to them. It's the absolute law of nature. It's not, in other words, it would seem to us sometimes that emotions are less scientific and less predictable than the laws of physics. The laws of physics seem to be immutable, but the laws of emotion seem to be wishy-washy, a soft science. But not so. Kamayim upon laponim. So if you're not getting along with somebody, generate some love, and the stories are legion. If you don't like somebody, make believe you like them. And by making believe, you like them. It's very good in marriages too, actually. Yes, mamash. That's the great technique of, you might call it mirroring, you know. That technique that's used today in marriage therapy. Mirroring means something else really in that context. But the remez to that we're going to have very soon in the Rashi in the end of Shmos about the women in Mitzrayim, who the way they aroused their husbands to desire to continue the marriage. The husbands were so geklapped, husbands were beaten, exhausted. Baruch Hashem, it's hard for us to put ourselves in that position, that the men were totally discouraged. Physically they were dead and emotionally they had no emotions. And their wives came out to the fields with their big copper mirrors, and after giving their husbands a delicious meal, they would look at themselves as a couple in the mirror, and that's how they would arouse each other. And the wife would say to her husband, according to Pajushat, she'd say, You're better looking than I am. And he would say to her, you're better looking than I am. And they would have this playful beauty contest. And that way, the wife would arouse her husband's desire. But as I told you many times, I once heard from a Rav, a different interpretation of the Rashi, that when they said, Li noye mimcho, she meant to say, I am beautiful, not more than you, but from you. The wife would say to her husband, if I'm beautiful, it's because you make me beautiful, because you love me so much. Your love is what puts the beauty of your love, and the way I appear in your eyes is reflected on my face. Beauty is indeed in the eye of the beholder. And the wife would say to his husband, if there's any vestige of beauty left in me, it's only because of your love for me that brings out my inner beauty, despite my external bruises and beatings and total exhaustion. So this is a fact of life. Kamayim upon laponim, kein leiv adam laadam. So certainly if a person, it's one thing if a person who is my peer loves me, says the Chavis Levavis. If someone on my level loves me, I respond with equal and opposite love. But if the person who loves me is someone who is my superior, as a Sarah Meishel, then I love that person even more, because I realize that I'm so overwhelmed that this great person looks, who should look down at me, seems to look at me as an equal. So that's very, very meaningful, and that really brings out my love, because that's unexpected love. So that's even bigger. Oh, Yoser. And not only that, he says, really, he started off this entire soliloquy with the question of, he started off with, if I just think that the person loves me, what happens if I know the person loves me? In other words, until now he's saying, if I have reasons to, just from the way I see, he smiles at me, so I pass by the governor or the president, and when the president was riding his motorcade, he didn't smile at anybody, but me smiled at him. Or the Rebbe was giving the chaim to everybody, and everybody else, he didn't seem to have eye contact. And the Rebbe, when he lifted up his glass, the chaim to me, he had eye contact and he winked at me. So I think he likes me. I think so, wow. So I'll be talking about it for the next 27 years, my children. You know what? The Rebbe winked at me. He was actually winking at the guy behind you, actually, who just gave him $750,000. But it's okay. So Madach, if you just think that the Rebbe winked at you, you're going crazy and telling us everybody the Rebbe winked at me. So Kozhigan, if the Rebbe calls you in for a private audience and says, you know, there's just something about you, you just, I don't know, I just love you. So then you'll certainly respond with love. And not only that, even better, if the Rebbe says, you know what, you're my man. That's it. You know what? I think a man like you has got to become one of the Yoishvim of my base medrash. I need people just sitting and learning all day. I'm going to support you. So I'm getting you a house, getting you a car, I'm giving you a parnasa. You're going to sit. I need men like you to sit and learn by me in base medrash. They have to the Kedusha. I have a special fund for this. Gevalt. Mamash Gevalt. I never asked the Rebbe for anything. And he's promised me all these things. Then the love we have for that person is incredible. And I think about it all the time. Because this person has made such a dramatic change in my life. Here it was, Nebuch, I was stuffing around being a doctor, and he just took me out of my misery. I was going on the musty bus every day to Wall Street. I was a successful bond trader, and I was in bondage, and I got out of my human bondage. The Rebbe released me from all this and said I could sit and learn. He supported me full time. So I'm putter from the Muncie bus. That itself is the first thing. And then Viter, Imam supports me. So I think about it every day, every minute I'm sitting and learning. I say, I'm only opening up this Gemara in the schus of the Rebbe. It's Gevaltik. So I'm not Masir Das. And believe me, when the Rebbe has his chasna, wow, am I going to dance for his chasna. Wow, if he calls me, if he just says, quick, come to my table for something, I'll run, I'll do anything. He says, can't we bake my matzah? Bake your matzah, it's Gevaltik. I'll be mocker of myself, my money, my children, everything, to repay the Rebbe. He will tell my children, let's run to the Rebbe, let's go together. Because the Rebbe showed me signs of Ava, and he did, not only showed it, he did it. And he changed my life. So when a person, so therefore says the Chovos Levavos, first the person has to, the Chovos Levavos was Mamash, such a deep psychologist. He says, first, a person has to recognize what emotion is all about. First, we have to build up our emotional IQ. I recognize we have such emotions of love and return love and responsive love that we respond, our hearts respond, and our hearts are beating and pulsing and throbbing when someone sends us love messages and does loving acts towards us. So first, we have to get in our mind the whole imagery of love. And then after we have this whole imagery floating in our minds and it becomes vivid and dramatic and meaningful to us, then when we recognize we have such feelings, because a lot of people don't even know they have feelings and they don't like feelings. Some people are uncomfortable with feelings. Some people don't like love, you know that. Some people don't like love, they can't handle love, because maybe when they were young, the love they got was from people who made a conditional love, and the love they got was people said, I love you on the condition you bring home a good report card. And I love you if you will be a good boy. I love you if you're toilet trained. And I love you if you'll do this or that. I love you if you give me a kiss. If you give me a kiss and give me a hug, then I'll give you one back. So people are trained to be nervous of love. The love is too expensive. So when they were younger, the love could have been a very tough love, or a love that was not pleasant. And therefore, when they get older, they can't handle love. And not only that, some people can't handle love. This is basic psychobabble. I'm a psychologist. So another reason they can't handle love is because it's a package deal. Emotions are a package deal. So at the same time, the opposite, the flip of ohev is oyev. Ohev, like it says in the Medrash, it's easy to make the difference. Oyev and oyev, they sound alike. Just a yud or a hey. And ohev is love, and oyev is hatred. So, like this, I hate certain people. But as long as I'm emotionally dead, so I kill my feelings in my heart, so I don't feel anything. Because the pain that I had because I hate that person hurt me so much. It's such a terrible pain, so I just turn off the emotional faucet. I have no emotions. I'm living totally in my head. And in my heart, I don't allow myself to feel. Because if I start feeling some love for somebody else, I might arouse the hatred I have for the different person. And I don't want to have feelings, because feelings are too painful for me. And my experience of feelings until now have been primarily negative feelings. So I don't want to have any feelings. So I turn it off. And therefore, that's really the truth. It's almost what Chazal mean. Actually, Rav Gifty used to always say over, either he said from Abel Yemeir Bluch, or I have another verse he said from his Rav Madel Pogromansky, that's why it says, Lasad Lavoi, Yizbat Lukola Demois, Afil Demois Shel Gil. Says in the future, all tears will be abolished, even tears of joy. Because it says, "Amalka l'kim dima bilam avos l'netzach, amalka l'kim dima v'alkal panim." Right, the famous pasuk that God will swallow up death forever, and He will wipe the tears away from all faces. So the Medrash says on that, in the future, all tears will be gone, even tears of joy. Why tears of joy? They're good tears. So various explanations are given. So the one explanation is that. Really, why does a person cry at a good time? The reason why we cry at a good time, why would you cry into the chuppah? You're so happy, why are you crying? The answer is because you start thinking about all the tzaras that they go through to bring your kid to the chuppah. So there's really no pure tears of joy. Joy, you should laugh. What are you crying for? The answer is because you're really, even subconsciously, going through all the pain that you had to get to this point. That's why you're crying. So in the future, when everything be good, all tears will be nullified, even the tears of joy, because the tears of joy are essentially really coming from a painful place. So the point is that joy and pain are readily intertwined, and pain is so hard to take that many times we shut down entirely, and many people that are inhibited, they don't really enjoy life. And he went to Simcha. You see people who I see it clearly as I'm talking to you right now. I talk to see in mind that the people who don't dance Simcha Torah, I see the kind of people never cry. They'll show no emotion. Because they're afraid. Their mom is afraid of emotions. For some reason, I'm not such a big psychologist, but for some reason they're afraid of their emotions. These people, they want to show they're Mr. Cool, Mr. Macho. And they're really not macho at all. They're really never victims. They're victims of certain pain that they can't get over. So you'll see on a chasna, these guys you'll never sweat. These guys will never sweat. The people never sweat. They can't get into anything. They never really get into dancing. You never see them lose themselves. We'll see the big litmus test is coming up Thursday night in Purim. We'll see who dances Purim night. We're going to see. Will you dance? Okay. The guys who don't come, well, we won't see. But the guys who come and sit at the sidelines, they probably won't come, those guys. Some of the guys show up. It's pastish, you know. But it's Purim, they can get away with it. They will get away with it. They won't come. But if they come, they won't sweat. Why would they sweat? Because they don't like this. Rabbi, I don't like sweating. I feel uncomfortable saying that. Rabbi, I don't like a wet t-shirt. You know? I hate having sweat. I don't like sweat. They don't like sweat. They don't like sweat. Sweat stands for the inner stuff coming out. Sweat comes from feelings, emotions, and especially men are very uncomfortable with that. And that's the problem we have with the women who love crying and love screeching and love, all the emotional stuff. And we are macho men. But the truth is, there are men who have no problem with emotions. It really depends how you're brought up. Depends how you're brought up. If you know, there are macho parents who think that crying is a terrible thing. And they don't cry. And they don't want self-pity. It's a longer geschichte. It's a longer geschichte. Some people don't like self-pity. They don't want to cry because, I have to be strong. And they think that self-pity is a sign of weakness. So they taught the kids also, be strong. Don't cry. Not good to cry. real. I mean, it goes on. It's not like something from the books. It's a fact. So the self-pity is terrible because people have an image of themselves as being capable. I can handle everything. And you know, those people call bitachon. What really have to worry about, it's false bitachon. People say, "Is I bitachon Hashem? I don't cry. Everything's great. Everything's wonderful. Don't feel bad. Don't feel sad. If you feel bad, it's a sign of bitachon." That's not what it is. It's really fake bitachon. It's really, they don't want to let people think that they're weak. So they go around saying, "I'm strong," because they don't want to say, "I'm weak." People have a big problem thinking they're weak. I'm strong. I can handle it. I can do anything. But of course it's with God's help. What it really means is that I am strong. I'm not a weakling. I'm not a wimp. I can handle everything. So they call it bitachon, but it really means is I have a responsibility to project an image of strength and invincibility and omnipotence and omniscience. Hey, sounds like me. I told you my favorite eulogy that I once heard a rabbi give. This rabbi, a real ego trip, wants to give a eulogy about another rabbi who died. What can I tell you about my dear departed friend? He was so great. He was so wonderful. Such a Ohev Torah, such a master, such a learner, such a tzaddik. I have no words to describe him. What can I tell you about him? You know, the only way I can say about him is that he was just like me. He was just like me. That was the ultimate eulogy. The person was just like me. At any rate, so says the Chofetz Chabad, the first thing is we have to recognize that we have love in our hearts. We are capable of loving. We have to recognize that we can have emotions. And this is not hard to believe. Everybody can have this emotion. I can experience the emotion of love for somebody, appreciation for their kindness to me. I can imagine that in my mind. So, from this he says we should extrapolate. So the Chofetz Chabad says we have to use the art of extrapolation of Kal V'Chomer, that if we could have these feelings of responsive love towards a person who is a weak human being like me, even though his status seems to be the desired level of status or wealth or position, but the mice, he's still a mortal as I am, same kind of a heart, same kind of a liver, same kind of lungs. So Allah's kama, the kama, we should have tremendous love for the Rabbeinu Shalom. The Moshe Rabbeinu told us that the Rabbeinu Shalom loves us. Let me rubchem, mikol ha'amim, choshak, adonai bochem, v'ayivchar bochem. Moshe Rabbeinu told us in Devarim that not because we're such a great nation, because we're the largest nation in the world, does God love us. Not so, we're not the largest nation. The reason why God chose us is ki mi'avas Hashem eschem. It's pure love. Hashem chose the Jewish people. It's pure love. The ultimate example of love is Hashem's love for us. And we know it from all the great things Hashem has done for us. And from all the pledges and promises that God has ratified with our people, that He says He's going to do great things. And He said, and even when they are rejected from the land of Israel, and it would seem that the Rabbi Shlomo doesn't care about us, and He threw us into the garbage bin, and He has thrown us away. Vav gamzois b'yoisim eretz aveyam. And He threw us not stam into a desert, but into a snake's pit, a viper's pit, with our biggest enemies. And the Gemara Megillah says, this is Takeh Mamish and Yoyma. This is the psicha to the Agadat of Masech, the Megillah, says the Gemara Megillah. That before they learned Masech and Megillah, before they learned all the Yonah of Megillah, they said this pasuk, that the Megillah proves that the Av Gamzois B'yoisim eretz aveyam, that even when they're in the most distant land and the worst enemies, loy mastim, loy galtim, Hashem has not rejected us, Hashem has not despised us and thrown us away. L'chaloisim to destroy us. So you see how much Hashem loves us, and even in the worst place in Shushan, when we're attacked by not one but two vipers, two deadly Achashverish and a Haman together, what an alliance, what a vicious alliance. Makes the Stalin and Hitler and Mussolini all together against us look like kid stuff. The Rebbe Shlomo still is with us. So you see the Rebbe Shlomo never forgets us, even in the depths of Shushan Abira. So can you imagine how much Hashem loves us? And Hashem not only loves us, says the Chofetz Chabad. Think about it. He's a family tradition already. Not like Rokeach, family tradition since 1884, or like Mr. Manashevitz from 1898, or like Mr. Kedem from 1952. He's a family, God's a family tradition long before there was Manashevitz, Rekeach, Kedem, and Horitz Margaretin from 1888, the matzahs. The Rishonim goes back from 3,500 years ago, from Avraham Avinu, to Aviseinu, Vavis Aviseinu. The Rishonim's old family friend. Those are the best friends, an old family friend. He's been around for a long, long, long time. Like Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, Reacha, V'Reya Avicha, Al Tazoy, your best friend, and the best friend of your dad. Don't leave him. That's the Rebbeinu Shlom. We have no better friend in the world than the Rebbeinu Shlom. How can you leave the Rebbeinu Shlom? It's your best friend. Ah. And the Rebbeinu Shlom is always reminding us that he made brisos. He not only does he's the best friend of our Zaydas and Babas, but he made promises to them and pledges to them that I'll be with you as Einiklach, no matter where they are, where they go, I'm with them. I promise you. I'll never let them go lost. Ki me'avaz Hashem Eschem. Hashem loves us, and He's going to keep the oath He gave to our forefathers. So all kinds of psukim like that. So how can it be that we don't respond with tremendous love of the Rebbeinu Shlom when the Rebbeinu Shlom calls and says, "No, bake matzahs for me. We should bake those matzahs. We should run to bake the matzahs." Hashem says, "Come dance on Purim with me. If you run to dance on Purim, we should go out to get cheshek." Everything Hashem says, come on, Shabbos, come on, learn, come on, daven, we should run to shul. We should mamish, psuk and zimmer should be fire. We thank you, dear Rebbeinu Shlom, for every miracle, every day. Moedim, ah. So, but look at us, he says, what a bad nature we have. It would be a kamakoshi, what stiff-necked people would be. How meager would be our faith. How stubborn we would be not to be nimshach achar emes, how stubborn we have to be not to be drawn magnetically after the truth. How can we not remember Hashem's love for us? How can we not respond with tremendous outpouring of praise and love and our own proclamations of our love for Him? It should be b'koila, we should listen and we should obey Him, not want to hurt Him, not want to give tzar, so to speak, to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Therefore says the Chavos Levavos, I wish I would have heard him about Pe. Wow, he must have been a great darshan. My brother, wake up from your deep sleep, wake up from your slumber. And take away from your heart the heavy curtain that the Yetzer has put over your heart, the insulated curtain that does let you feel the throbbing love of the Rebbeinu Shlom. How can you not feel how much Hashem loves you? How can you not feel Hashem's love? How can you not respond with love? It must be that the Yetzer has put a super deep insulated covering of Yetzer, of lust and desire and over your heart that you feel nothing. To the point where the Yetzer has separated you from the brilliant intellect of your mind and the feelings of your heart. And he says, I'll give you a mashal. You know what it's like? So you say, well, what do you mean? Huh? The Yetzer has a cover in insulation over my heart which doesn't let me feel God's love and see His kindness? Well, that's ridiculous. Oh no, he says, give yourself a mashal. What is the Yetzer like? It's not a mashal he invented. It's really a psukim. The Yetzer, he says, is exactly like the Yakobish, the spider, who weaves his web on the window of your house. And the very first strand of the spider's web is unnoticeable. The first little strand of the web the spider spins over your windows means nothing. It does not impede the light amashu. And the next day there's another strand. Still doesn't make a difference. And by the time the week is over, if you haven't cleaned the house, there's 10 strands. But each one is so microscopic, so minuscule, so the filament is so fine. Still, it's only 10. Nothing. The light's streaming through here. And they're shickle transparent, even those spider web things. But slowly, 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 before you know it, there's one big cradle over there, and the cradle over there, and the web cradle over there, and the dust starts getting on. It's only one speck of dust, but it collects dust over here and dust over there. And before you know it, it may take a year, but your window is so filled with spider webs and cobwebs that the light mamash doesn't come through, and you don't see anything. It was so subtle, it was silent. Who ever heard a spider? Whoever hears a spider? You don't hear it, you don't see it, you don't know from it, and these are so, and the whole web is so flimsy. And Taka, just like you can get rid of the spider web with one vish, so too we can get rid of the Yetzer with one vish. But you have to want to do it. We're not makir, that this spider is crawling all over us. So the spider does it without being noticed. It's unnoticed. So too the Yetzer Hara, he weaves his web unnoticed, but he weaves it and weaves it. This we can't leave. So you say, I'll just do this one time. I'll do this aver one little time. One little time. What's the difference? It's hardly noticeable. I have such a big window. There's so much light coming in. I know so much Torah. My brain is illuminated, but I know so much Torah. I just made a siyum on Shas. I know so much Torah already. What can one little avera do to me? It's not going to make a difference. Okay, you let the spider in. Once you let the spider in, the spider, Spider-Man, he will come and haunt you. He's the shadow. The spider makes shadows. Slowly, slowly, one strand leads to another before it's... Because the problem is that once the window is all stuffed up, you're right, we could clean the window. The only thing is we don't want to. Because we forgot what light is all about, says the Chavos Levavos. You forgot that there is light. We forgot that there is a window to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You won't want to clean the window from the spider web because you'll think there is no window. And you'll think that darkness is where it's supposed to be. Darkness is the natural state. As Moinea or Sichlecha, Legamri. So there he says, Mizdare Zafi, my brother, quick, come on, get on the alert, wake up, hop, run, let's go. What should you do? What's the first step? Get a rag out and clean the window? No, not going to help. You're not going to do that. You don't know where the window is anymore. The cobwebs are so great, you don't even see where the truth is and where the, you don't know where the light is, where the darkness is. You got to dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. They should help you to get rid of the spider. Daven. And that will be the first, he says, that will be the first ray of light. The first ray of light will have to come from the outside, from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And you start to see that the first little speck of light coming through the spider webs, then you say, aha, oh, that's where the window used to be. Aha, now I can get to work. But ourselves, we will not even know where to start. We don't even know where the window is. So you have to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam that he should send the first ray that will pierce through the spider webs, the cobwebs, and that way you can start to wash away the filth ourselves. But Hashem loves us, so if we don't feel the love of Hashem, he says, we are sick. That's the bottom line. If we don't feel the love of Hashem, that means that our body, we're in a body cast, within a heart cast. Our hearts and our souls and our emotions are totally paralyzed, crippled, and we are living in a very thick body cast which insulates us that we cannot see the emes. So the first thing is the daven that the Ribbono Shel Olam should make us aware that we should awaken emotionally to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the truth is that, that from this, we can also extrapolate another lesson, that the reason why Taka, if we don't have the proper feelings towards the Ribbono Shel Olam, we'll never have the proper feelings towards fellow human beings. It goes, Benol Nechaver, Benol Nechaver, go hand in hand. When we have a healthier relationship with Hashem, and our hearts are sensitive and responsive to Hashem's goodness to us, then we can respond properly to the close relationships we have in our life, family and social, then we will respond in a healthy fashion to the goodness people do to us. We don't respond to people properly. We don't appreciate people enough. And a person can smile at us and we can't even smile back at the person. And a person gives us a big hello and we give them a grumpy hello. And a person wants to reach out to us and we're dead. It's all because it's this one big emotional problem. If our hearts are dead to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're atrophied to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we're atrophied with people. And by, on the other way also, the that by being more responsive to people, that's a good way to start breaking away the cobwebs with the Ribbono Shel Olam as well. But it all starts with tefillah, because some people don't even know what emotions are all about. They're totally living in their head, they don't even know what feelings are. Some people don't know what feelings are anymore. They're so dead, they know what feelings are. So the daven the Ribbono Shel Olam should give us feelings. Healthy feelings, good feelings, normal feelings. Not distorted, perverted feelings. Not poisoned feelings. Clean us out a little bit, Ribbono Shel Olam. Please let me have a ray of light. And Hashem, I promise you, I will be waiting for the answer and I will work further after you send me the light. Okay, everybody, so we'll stop here. And Mitzvah Hashem next Sunday. We shot. Yeah. Okay, everybody, So last week we were learning the 14th Sizbainus of the Baal Chayvus Levavos, and he was explaining to us how slowly the Yetzer Hara weaves a cobweb over the eine, the eyes of our seichel. And just as by a cobweb, the first strands are almost imperceptible, but slowly, slowly the spider goes back and forth over our windows, and you look back after a month and the windows and guns and covered up with webs and no light's coming through. So to our neshamas, once you let the Yetzer even put one strand over your heart, he'll go again and again. Therefore, we have to make a house cleaning, a bed of kabayas, every day, three times a day, every time we daven, we have to learn musar. Otherwise, we don't even know that we're in darkness. The Brachmanas Nas says that we're in darkness, and we don't even know we're in darkness. And even the life in Torah can't penetrate unless we make a concerted effort to clean out the cobwebs. This is his incredible mashal. Everything's as a posh nazach. And he continues in this. And he says, Chazal, I didn't make this up. He says, Chazal gave us many mishalim. And it's clear, you know, the greater the person, the more of a Baal Mashalim a person is. People tend to minimize and trivialize a mashal, like it's for kids. Just the opposite. The wise of all men, Shlomo HaMelech, wrote Sefer Mishlei. So if it's good enough for King Solomon, it should be good enough for us. So it's just the opposite. And like I say, the more I think about what I learned from my rebellion, they're always giving mashalim. The whole world's just a mashal. And the Torah itself, the Gemara calls the Torah, Al Kein Yomer Moshal HaKadmoni, the most ancient Moshal in the universe is the Torah, because the Torah precedes the universe. And a Moshal means that you take something which is relatively simple, a simple illustration to illustrate and illuminate a more difficult, higher concept. So the whole Torah is, so to speak, Hashem's way of giving us a simple way of knowing about what His Ratzon is, and of course Hashem's intellect, so to speak, just Hashem's will, His intellect is beyond our comprehension. So the entire Torah HaKadosh is only a mashal. The Gemara calls the Torah the Mashal HaKadmoni, the ancient mashal. That's what the Gemara calls it. Rashi brings down Chumash. Al Kein Yomer Mashal HaKadmoni Mirushoyim Yetzei Resha. So it's called a Mashal HaKadmoni. So everything's a Mashal. So he says, Chazal gave a Gemara in Sukkah, based on the Pasuk in the beginning of Tehillim, the very first Pasuk, Asher Isha Shalei Halach Batzer Shoyim, V'Bederech Hatam V'Amad, V'Moshev Leitzim L'Yoshev. Fortune is the man who has not, Al Shalei Halach Batzer Shoyim, he has not gone, he doesn't walk according to the counsel of the wicked, Ubederech Hatoimli Omad, he didn't stand on the road of the sinners. Uvamayshav Leitzim, what's worse than a sinner? Worse than a sinner is a cynic who makes fun of people who do mitzvahs. So people who make fun of people who learn Musa and say you're a bunch of chinyaks, fanatics, nerds, who knows what you are. So if someone makes fun of someone who learns Musa, someone who's over the Shambath is the Havas, that they're crazy, they're maniacs. So that's the worst. That's worse than a sinner. So have you got the first pasuk of Tillim? Very good. So right. So the first pasuk gave Nachum all. So Ashi Shalaholach Batzah Shoyim. He did not go according to the counsel of the wicked. Now you'd imagine, well, that a rosh is worse than a chote, but in a certain way a chote is worse than a rosh, because a chote is the person who makes wicked things seem like just a little sin. It's just like an insignificant thing. That's why he's worse. The worst of all the lates. The lates makes fun of everything, makes fun of everybody good. That's the worst. So the Gemara says in Sukkah, Daf Nun Beis, that these really are three different names for the Yetzirah. They're not talking about human beings. Again, these are a mashal for the Yetzirah. So first, the Yetzirah is like a halech, or a halech, says the Gemara. The Yetzirah is just like a passerby. Passerby, he just whizzed by. It's nothing. What's the Yetzirah? It's a whizzed by. So it's insignificant. Then the Yetzirah becomes, he's not just whizzing by, he stands right there. He's a standing, he's permanent. He's Omad. Lashon HaGemara is like an Oirech, he's like a guest. He's standing there, but he's on the road, so he's like a guest. He's my guest. And then he becomes like a person, an important person. And the Gemara based it really on another pasuk. So he brings down, there's another pasuk in Shmuel. It says in Shmuel when Nosna Navi gives a mashal to Shmuel, he says, V'yavah helech li'isha asher, V'ayachmo, no, Nosna Navi, it's in David, I said. He gives David a mashal about his sin with Bathsheba. He says, V'yavah helech li'isha asher. A passerby came to the rich man. And the rich man, although he was so rich, he had so many sheep in his flock, he had rechmanas on his own sheep, umibukar on his own herd of cows, to give the oirech a meal. So he went out, v'yikaches kivsas ha'isha rosh, v'yasel le'ish ha'boilov. And he stole the sheep from the poor man. Only had one sheep. He stole it and slaughtered it and made some sheep condiments, some sheep, some mutton for the man who came to him. So again, what do you see? There's three levels. First he walks, first he's called the Halach, then he's called the guest, then he's called the Ish, he's the Balabas. So the Yetzahara always starts off like a passerby, very innocuous. So first the Yetzirah has you look at a billboard, you're just zipping by. What's a billboard? You just pass by the billboard. So the billboard's not sneezing, a billboard. That's not a serious thing. I would never take a magazine like that into my house. But the billboard, you know, just zip by. It was like 1 second. I'm on the West Side Drive and there's that billboard over there and I just zipped right by it, you know. Or I just listened to the radio for a minute. That was just a little commercial. I would never listen to Kol Isha Erev. I would never listen. Called the sheriff, who would ever listen to a woman singing? But one of these advertisements, you know, she's singing, or they give you a little, when you're listening to the weather on 880, so the little jingle for an advertisement for a nice Broadway show. So I would never go to a Broadway show. Me, I would never, overnight dead body, a Broadway show, how would that be caught dead? I want to go to Broadway. I want to stay 10 blocks away from, I don't like even walk driving through Manhattan. It has a reyach tumah. But when they're singing the theme song from some Broadway show because they're advertising it on the radio, so you know, I can't turn off the radio. That's not be ridiculous. I can't turn off the radio. I'm listening to the news. I like the news. I want to listen to the news. I listen to the weather. The Shem Shemayim. I want to know. I want to know to plan my if I should go to give this year, not give a year. It's the Shem Shemayim. Should I do this? I've never listened to singing on the radio. Called Bisha. We go to Broadway, but it's right before. I can't listen. I you know, you have to exactly get on the eights. You know, so I can't. And this is the ad right before the 8th, so the lady is singing for Broadway, so what am I supposed to do? Turn off the radio? It's only, you know, it's a passerby. It's a zip through. It's like a 5 second slot. What could be 5 seconds? What's 5 seconds? Come on, Rabbi. I can hear a tape, I can hear Broadway, but 5 seconds? What's 5 seconds? That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah starts as a Halach. He just is a passerby. He just walking, he just passes your road. So innocuous. Just walked over the road. It was a second. It was mama's 3 second slot. But that 3 second slot makes us insensitive to the Isser of Kol B'Sherva. And therefore, the next time you're in someone's house, and they have the television on, you would never have a television in your house. You wouldn't even dream. No one comes to the Chavos of us would have a television in their house. But, you might be walking to somebody else's house and have a television on, the radio on, or a tape on, and it's blaring over there, and I can't tell the guy to turn it off. Or I'm at the barber shop, you know, he has the thing on over there. I can't tell him to turn it off. I'm embarrassed, you know. Or I'm on the bus and the guy's blaring out. I can't do it. So since you heard it right for 3 seconds on the radio, so you're not so sensitive to it, so I can listen on the bus. I would never in my house. I would never listen to this stuff. But in the bus, I'm not going to ask the guy to turn it off. Why not? You can ask. You always can ask. No one tells you. Maybe he's not going to listen to you. You can always ask. Maybe I should get off the bus even. I don't know. not so pashut. If they told me that there was radon on the bus, I would get off. If they told me there was radioactive material, if someone told me that there's someone sick on the bus with some kind of a virus, I would jump. If I was living in England, they told me they had hand and foot disease. I'm so scared now. Hand and foot disease. I only know that from Yated Naman. My news comes from Yated Naman. That's where I get all my news from. Tell you that. You don't have to read any more papers anymore. But even that's dangerous to Yated Naman. You can just sit there and there. Before you know, an hour is over and you waste an hour reading the news from the whole world. Kosher. No bad pictures there. No bad advertisements. But still, who cares? I guess I see it to give you a mushel today. But the kids of the Eitz Sahara, this is one of the most powerful mashalim of the world, what the Eitz Sahara is. First he's a Halach, he does the passerby, then he's a Oirich, he's a guest, he's not a permanent, you know, just nothing, he's just a guest. So it's more a chashiv than a passerby, he's a guest, not permanent, just temporary. But then finally, the Eitz Sahara becomes the Balabas, he's called Ish. And then it's the Moshav Leitzim Yoshav, he's a permanent Toshav. He takes up residence in my heart, and he is the master of my life. So I think it's safe to say that by most people, and I guess not to include myself in this, the Eitz Sahara is the Baal HaBas. Yes, he's paying the mortgage. The Eitz Sahara pays the mortgage. He pays very generously the mortgage. He gives me all kinds of pleasures. He's good to me. The Eitz Sahara takes, he pampers me, he panders to me. The Eitz Sahara is the Baal HaBas of my life. He took up residence in my heart, and he's calling the shots. I'm not even capable of looking at things in an objective way anymore. The Eitz Sahara is the Ish. He's the man, and I'm just a shikingle. I'm just a gopher. He tells me what to do. He tells me what to do. He wants it. He says, Lashnara, don't say Lashnara. Look there, hear this, do this. The Eitz Sahara is the Baal HaBas. Very sad. So I thought I was the Baal HaBas of my own life, and the Eitz Sahara is the Baal HaBas of my life. It didn't happen overnight. It's a long process. Those spider webs were collective. Didn't happen overnight. He's just insinuated himself into my life very slowly. So the average person feels pretty good about himself, myself included. I feel like, I wouldn't say it publicly. I would never brag. I'm a tzaddik. Yeah, I guess I'm really a tzaddik. I would never say that because that would ruin my image as being an anav as well. So I won't ever say that I'm a tzaddik publicly, but in my heart of hearts, yeah, Baruch Hashem, I'm from the chosen few, a tzaddik I am, big Talmud Chacham, big Baal Tzedakah, Baal Chesed, Davener. I'm pretty amazing guy. I'm really the man. I'm an accomplished person. I've done something in my life. Hey, you know, I'm a somebody. I'm the Baal HaBas. I'm a chash of a guy. I am a chash of a guy. Yeitz Sahara. Look, you know, I talk about him. I give a chavos levavos here every Sunday morning. I have him under control. I know who he is. I learn chavos levavos. I got him well identified. Yeah, the Yeitz Sahara, I have a little pride. You know, it's always tempting. I mean, the chavos levavos himself says the Yeitz Sahara never gives up. I know he's always trying. I'm ready for him. I'm mugan. I inoculate myself. I come every, I have chasinut. That's called vaccination. I'm vaccinated against the Yeitz Sahara. I come Sunday morning and I'm vaccinated. The Eitz Sahara can't tell me what to do. Of course, in my life, he's a halach. He's just a passerby. Yeah, I have a problem with him. He's no question about it. He comes and I talk to the radio. It's true. And then the billboard is true. He's not the Baal HaBas of my life. Or maybe he is. Maybe he is. Maybe he is a big Baal HaBas of my life. I got to think about this. He really could be more than I'm willing to admit. So that's a cheshbon that only every person can do on their own privately in the privacy of their homes. Go out in the forest today, do some mizbaydis. No one even wants to think about this question. Where is the Eitzah holding in my life? Is he a passerby? Is he an honored guest? Or is he the Baal HaBas of my life? He's really calling the shots. And I'm not as good as I think I am. So that is the cheshbon the Chayim Zohar says. Ashri Isha Shalei Halach Batz Rishoyim Derech Hatoyim LeOmad. The Omad is like a guest. Moshav Leitim LeYoshav. Maybe I'm a Letz after all. Maybe I devalue everything. I devalue people. That's the whole Yesod of Lashon Hara. Always devaluing everybody. I devalue, you know, even I pay lip service to the Rav. I tell him he's a great shurim. I stand up for him. But really, I don't really take it seriously what he says. I don't take anybody too seriously. I haven't really met the rabbi worthy of me. When I meet the rabbi worthy of someone like me, someone who's my equal, someone who's up to par for me, then I'm a big derech eretz hamilchama. I just haven't met him yet. That's all. I love derech eretz. If I'd meet him, I'd recognize him right away. I haven't met him yet. I daven all the time to meet a real Talmud Chacham. Not that funny rabbi detainers on Sunday morning. You know, I don't want an entertainer for a rabbi. I want a real rabbi. What is he going to look like? Well, I'm working on it. I'm painting. I got the FBI agent to give me make that profile for me. I'm working on the profile. When I see him, boy, I will be his biggest chassid. I'm telling you, I've been waiting for about 50 years now to find him. But the search. So you have to see what a commendable person. I've been searching for 50 years. Haven't found him yet, but I'm going to find him because I never give up. So I'm really a big Mikir Rabbanon person who has great derech eretz for Tamil Chamim, Rosh Yeshivas, Rabbanim. If and when I find them. At any rate, so he says, my friend, you better wake up, better do some kop, learn some musr, because Shlomo HaMelech himself said about, Shlomo HaMelech HaChochem said about HaMisalmim mi HaHizbainus Anshei Ra Lo Yavina Mishpat. He says, wicked people don't know about the Mishpat. They don't know what's coming up in life. They don't know what's happening in life. That's the biggest curse probably that a person really can, we can fool ourselves. Again, the biggest fooling ourselves is because we do a few good bad, the areas that were out of control, because a few areas we talk are in control. And from that we extrapolate that we must be in control all over. That's the biggest mistake that we could possibly make. So, every single day requires cheshbon ha-nefesh. We'll see in a second, as an introduction to the 15th, that's the end of the 14th. So yesterday I saw in the Sefer, Merid de Gazach, that there was once a Mashgiach in Lithuania, in Lita, a Muslim Mashgiach in the Yeshiva, I don't know, it didn't say his name. And he achieved great heights in his lifetime. So he asked him, how did he achieve such heights? And they didn't say, but a friend of his once revealed what this Mashgiach did to be such a special person who had such control over his life. When he was 18 years old, he sat down, big job, and he ripped out of some pads, a lot of pads, he bought a lot of pads, and he ripped out 20,000 sheets of paper. He made a pile of 20,000 sheets of paper. And he had two trays, he bought two trays, two big trays, and in one tray, he stacked up the 20,000 sheets of paper, pretty high. See, I'm trying to think, how much is the ream? What? 500. Boy, I'll tell you, if the ream is this thick, this is a pretty high pile. 20,000 sheets, maybe a smaller pad. 20,000 pieces, 20,000, 80 reams of paper. 40 reams of paper, 40 reams. A lot of paper. Maybe it was small, maybe it was thin. And in the other tray was empty. And he made up in his mind that for the rest of his life, every single day of his life, he will transfer one page from the full tray to the empty tray. To remind himself that every single day of his life is a page written. In Shemayim, everything he did on that day was written. And two things. Number one, everything, this blank page is filled with writing about him in Shemayim. And number two, every single... I have lots of time. I'm 18 years old. I still have another 52 years at least. I'm 70. If I really do good, I might have 62 years. Who knows? I might even have 72 years yet. People live till 90. I have 72 years left. He figured if he lived till 70, that's 52 years. It's about 20,000 days. It's a long time, 20,000 days. So we have lots of time. Who is the author? You have to do tshuva. What do you do this week for? So you have to pour him to clean up Shalach Manas. You have no time for tshuva today. Today's Shalach Manas cleanup. Don't clean up your neshama. Clean up the Shalach Manas today. And tomorrow you start thinking about Pesach. And you have to start cleaning up the house of Pesach. Clean and clean, you'll clean and clean and clean and clean for the whole Pesach. But we'll never clean another neshama's out. Everyone's missing inches in Pesach cleaning. And no one cleans their own neshama. Our own neshama is filthy. Our own neshama, we haven't begun. So he said, I have to have a cheshbon that someday, after 120, I'm coming to the Rabbeinu Shlom. I live 82 years yet. I still have to come to the Rabbeinu Shlom. If I live 120, it'll be 102 years. But the longer I live, the more I'm accountable for. I have to come and account for every day of my life, which was given me as a fresh, clean sheet. What did I do in this day? What did I accomplish? And what avarice did I avoid? And time is running out. So as he saw the pile getting higher and higher and higher, he realized, and when he got halfway, this Mashgiach, he got like, you know, at the 26-year level, so 10,000 pages, he said, oh boy, now it's really, now I'm halfway there. I'm halfway to my final day if I live to only 70. So am I ready? Am I prepared? Am I ready to go? And it was this page-by-page system that held him in a sense of accountability and awareness that we all were going to come in front of the Ibn Shalom someday. So everyone's thinking today, so all our shul, a lot of accountants, everyone's thinking about April 15th. It's a big day for these people. They're getting very nervous. They have a lot of things to take care of. It's the season. But we have to know that our entire life is the season. And the Din V'Cheshbon starts right now. After 120, you know, Reb Zelig Ruben Bengis, I don't know what I think about this, it's too much. Reb Zelig Ruben Bengis, who was the Rav Yerushalayim, died around 1953, so he was the kind of Jew who knew Kol Torah Kula, one of those types, who knew Kol Torah Kula. And he would constantly go to little children in the Cheder and have them faherim on Mishnayos, on Chumash, on Tanakh. They would go to a big yeshiva, have the Bachram faherim on Gemaras, even knew the Gemara Baal Peh. And a few weeks before he died, Rebbe Yashiv Shlita came into him. This is about 50 years ago, a little less than 50 years. And he asked Rebbe Yashiv to faherim on certain sections of Shas. Yashiv was a younger person then, because he said, I know I'm dying, and a few weeks I have to go to the Beit Shalmala, and they're going to faherim me on Gan Shas, Bavli, Yushalmi, Kol HaTorah Kula. I have to make sure I'm ready. And not only that, he was a big Baal Darshan. He has a saver called Liflagas Ruvain, but he had one drasha, one shir, they never said over. They said, this I'm reserving to be my opening shir in the Beit Shalmala. They asked me to say something. At least I have something good to say. So I'm preparing my whole life. I have one special shir, my best tire. I don't say that. It's not for this world. I'm preparing it for the next world. That's what I'm preparing for. So the only way to, that's the only way to live. The only way to live. Otherwise, we're not the Balabatim. To be the Balabas over our lives means that I am every day, that I'm balabas to prepare myself for the next world. So that's the next cheshbon. And the 15th cheshbon is, a person made a cheshbon like this. Again, only the chavos of avos. He says, listen, make believe you're going on a trip. So last time you took a business trip, you went to Florida. So now, you didn't just go to Florida, no one just gets on a plane and goes to Florida. Oh, no. You got your nice valises out. And you gotta figure out what you need. And you make sure you take enough pajamas, underwear, socks, toothbrush, in your kit bag, you had to get the right toothpaste and the right toothbrush and the hairbrush and the comb and the tweezers and a this and a that and a nail cutter and Q-tips. Okay, I'm going to Miami, you know, gotta get ready for Miami. Let me sure take a bathing suit. Got to take a towel. Got to take suntan lotion, and I got to take my sunglasses. A whole cheshbon. It took me at least 2 days to pack, and I got to make sure of this. Make sure my ticket's okay. Call up my ticket. Make sure everything's okay. Make sure there's a good meal. Make sure that I'm. The first thing I packed. And I had weekday clothing and Shabbos clothing, nice shoes, tennis shoes, sandals for the beach. And then all kinds of stuff. It comes to Miami, it's not a push to Zach. Camera, film, right kind of film, enough film. You know, Miami, you gotta get ready, you gotta take photo opportunities. Then, after I got myself good and packed, how many shirts? I need floral shirts, white shirts for Shabbos, ties, a whole avoda. Think about this, how many packed. Then, one second, make sure I got the right plane. I'm going to make a good time for my plane, make sure it's a Geschmacka plane, make sure I'm in the right seat, the aisle seat, make sure I'm not stuck someplace, make sure the kosher meal is there. A lot of preparations for a trip. Little trip to Miami. It's a 3-day trip to Miami. You got to think about it. Little trip. If it's a longer trip, you're going for 2 weeks, you got to really prepare. Bigger valise and more stuff. You know, bigger the trip, the more preparations. I'll never forget my first trip there. So, boy, did I prepare for that trip. I was an old man already. I was 38 when I went there. It's the first time. I was preparing my first trip to Israel and clinic, and I was preparing for 2 weeks. Who knows? It was like unbelievable. Every detail I had planned perfectly. And notebooks and pictures and this and that and addresses with a visit. Which you don't, weeks I was preparing for this trip. It was only a 2 week trip. So he says, when you go someplace, and if you're a businessman, and it's not stam a pleasure, the pleasure trip is enough, which you have to prepare your own personal needs for a pleasure trip. But if you're going on a business trip, and you're taking along schayer with you, you're taking along merchandise to sell, oh my goodness, you have to take the best merchandise, you have to figure out merchandise is over there good, could be over here in this country, the merchandise means nothing, but in that country it's gewaltig, in this country it's cheap stuff, but in that country over there, so stuff which is junk items here in America, if you're on a business trip to Outer Mongolia, that they'll grab it up like nothing. So a cheap Walkman, lower end electronics, that's junk stuff. Doesn't sell here in Muncie. Muncie, everyone wants the high end. You know, here you got to get the Palm Pilot VX, but the first version of Palm Pilot, I mean, you don't dare be seen in shul with that because the shatzim shidduch. Zam Lion is going to come around to the Palm Pilot. That's it. That's the end of shidduchim. You can't get last year's version of the Palm Pilot Zalman. Because the Shadchan will find it right away, and it's all over. Your poor daughter, you know, they'll never, they won't even mishal it with you. You don't have the VX. Zalman, get that VX. You got it? Okay. Okay, now the Shadchan will ask you all the time. First thing the Shadchan asks you all the time, does the guy have the Palm Pilot VX? Then they can go buy it. So, but not in Mongolia, Zalman, the Casio, remember Casio? The Casio, daily organizer from 15 years ago, that heavy bulky thing which can't even hot sink and you can't beam from one to another. you still have another daughter, and then, you know, you better watch out. I'm shocked your daughter got engaged. You probably kept the secret. Rabbi said, for the sake of Mr. Rabbi Golding, let's promise to keep this a secret, that he's still with the old Casio. You know, that's only a little mention of Chai. It might be Begay Lashon Hara in the same family. So we're going to make believe he never did that, okay? It's his mother's yard site today, so you know, Rahman is on the source of his mother. So the kids, when you're going someplace, you think, what's Chara sells over there? What's appropriate over there? What are they going to buy? Is it worth it? How many pieces should I take? Should I take this much, that much? How should I wrap it? How should I preserve it? A whole lot of Avoda. And how much food to take, you know, how Mullik and Sidney, you have to take food on the road. You don't get airline meals. You have to take food, say the Laderech. And if you're going on a big caravan, you have to know what kind of chevre you want to be with. And you have to figure out what kind of hotels you're going to stay in. Also, another chevre, you're making a trip, what kind of hotel you're going to be in. You have to prepare the hotel room. You have to make sure it's a 5-star hotel. All kinds of preparations. And he says, in all these cases where you're making preparations for the trip, you don't even know if you're going to get there. You don't even know if you're going to get there. You might miss the plane, the whole trip is about Tala. And if your plane, get on the plane, you might leave from LaGuardia. You'll never leave. And you might be stuck there for 4 days. You know, you might go for, so you never know. Well, you might be coming to LaGuardia, but sure you'll never get there. So he says, what's life all about? Life is just, this life, 70 years, 80 years, is just preparation for the big trip. For Olam Haba. And that's a trip, it's vital you're going to get there. You're not going to miss the plane. When the call comes, plane is leaving, that coffin goes out no matter what. The Levaya, Oren Yetzay, Miruchayim, Shamgar, and they go around Yerushalayim, you know, they big Achraza, Hamita, Yetzay, Bishash, Demisrei, Baboyker, and it tells you when the Mita's going out, and they have big, they have a Ram call going around Yerushalayim, this is the hour that the Mita's going out of the Nifter, it's being buried in Arabaya, and Harazesim is going, it's Vada, you're going to Olam Haba. You're going to the next world, you're going to the Cheshvan. So you better, he says, there's no mandais or mifla, there's no escaping it. So you have to figure out how much food you need for the long road. Like the Gemara says, I think Rav Zutra said, Urch Rechika Vizavda Kalila. It's a long road, and he says the food I have prepared is very schwach, I only have a few snacks. It's a long trip, and I only have a couple, I have some peanuts and some potato chips, that's all I have. I'm going on a trip for eternity, and the only tzedla derech I have is just mamash, a bag of potato chips, a bag of peanuts, a little candy, a chabgonish, mcgonish. That's where Rav Zutra, before he died, gave away half of his money, I believe it was the tzedakah. You know, the Gemara said you shouldn't give more than a fifth, that's all while you're alive. But when you're on your deathbed, you can give away, you give away everything really, but half, leave half of your yarshim. Give away 50%. And in this world, you can give away more than 20% if you want to do tshuva. For tshuva, you can give away more than 20%. And the Machzor Torah, you can give more than 20%. And there's a lot of, there's plenty of teirim for giving away more than 20%, even in this world. On your deathbed, Rav Judah says, I better give away more. It's a long trip ahead of me, and I have very little prepared. I haven't packed very much. I have to go to the Rabbanu Shlom. There'll be a big din v'cheshbon. That day of the din v'cheshbon, the Navi Malachi says, is the end of the whole Tanakh. The day is coming. You can't avoid it. It's burning like a furnace, not like a stam fire. It's burning like a furnace, not stam a furnace, but a nuclear furnace. Zed the biggest fire you can imagine in this world. The biggest fire, the fire of Gehenna, is 60 times hotter than the biggest fire you can possibly imagine. He says, our whole life, don't ever, you're sitting in a chair right now, everyone's sitting? You think you're sitting. Maybe that's what the Baruch Shem had, the earth is constantly rotating. You think you're sitting, you're really traveling, 25,000 miles an hour, the earth is rotating? You're really traveling, you're going 25,000 miles an hour, you're going faster than the fastest jet. Well, we're all traveling. You think you're sitting, but right now we're a second closer to our final destination. This whole world is only a trip, it's just a shuttle. On the noisim alam haba b'tmidus, we're getting closer and closer every day and every minute. So the road, it's a long trip, he says, and we're gonna get there, so why aren't we preparing? Why are we preparing? So for our pleasure, he says, in Miami Beach, that you shouldn't get burnt in the sun, you take sunscreen along, you make sure you have two different types. You have to have the regular and the heavy duty. It depends on how heavy the sun's gonna be. So it comes again, your copper tan lotion, you have to get few different varieties. You get one for your nose, special for your nose, then one for over here, and you gotta get different, you got protection, you got a nose protector for your nose on top of that, the right kind of sunglasses. So for Miami Beach, it's a trip for just as a couple of days, we're making all kinds of preparations, every possibility, it's interesting, it's a trip, you don't like anything to chance a trip. In the house, you're not so careful about yourself. But a trip, the thought of a trip, who knows what I'll have over there? I might not be able to buy it over there. Who wants to waste time over there buying it? I want to have it all prepared right now. So he says, Lassad Lavoi, you can't buy anything new. No more mitzvahs. And you can't do tshuva, Lassad Lavoi. He says, on the metaplum, Macheveinu Agufniim, in this world, on the trip, we're taking care of our little aches and pains, our physical aches and pains. V'shoichachim es Macheveinu Aruchniim. And we forget our spiritual aches and pains. So if Chaz Shalom be a little arthritis, you get all kinds of different rubs and everything. I shouldn't Chaz Shalom have any pain in my arthritis. But Lassad Lavoi, there'll be a big pain, there'll be a fire, there'll be a bren, and all this suntan lotion in the world is not going to protect us from the fires of Gehenna. It's not that the sun burns, it's a sun incineration. Lassad Lavoi. Oh, he says, they're coming, Mesanver, Timtum, Amoyach, Hazeh. Oh, how blind is the fashtop, the cup, our heads are fashtop with cobwebs. How blind we are. How shikr we are. How strong is the intoxication of Lamhaza. We're so addicted to Lamhaza. We're so intoxicated by Lamhaza. Our Lamhaza is so intoxicating. It's so intoxicating. Our Lamhaza, we're so drunk and shikr Lamhaza that we don't think about what is in store for us for sure in Lamhaba. As the Navi Yeshaya says, Kitach, may your eyes say neyem, because their eyes are smeared over with schmutz, they don't see. May askili boysam, so their hearts cannot think wisely. And the Navi Yeshaya also says, shokru v'lo yayin, they're drunk but not from wine. No'u v'lo shekar, they're wobbling, they're walking around wobbling and swaying, but it's not from liquor, it's from shikras in olam hazeh, we're shikr for olam hazeh, we're not thinking of olam haba. So it's an abanda shikurim. So a shikir can't paskin, you know. A shikir is also the paskin. So can we paskin for ourselves? Not one of us is in a position to make true evaluations of our own matzav. Only someone else can tell us the truth about ourselves. That's why Hashem created wives, by the way. And why is Hashem, our wife is our conscience. And that's our biggest macho mistake, that we annoy our wives and they tell us the truth about ourselves. Some wives, the husband did such a great job. Some husbands, I know some husbands right here, they did such a good job in their wives, that their wives are so intimidated by them, they're not going to tell their husbands anything anymore, because they gave up already. Because every time they want to tell their husband that, the husband gives them such a dirty look. He would never scream at his wife. He would never hit his wife, Chas v'Shalom. But that dirty look is such a smashing, pounding blow to her that after five, it doesn't take many years, the wife can't open her mouth anymore because the husband doesn't want, don't leave me alone. Don't be my conscience. Come on, I have enough of the office. I have enough from Rabbi Foyer. He pounds me enough. I need you too. I came home to avoid it. I want to relax already. I need you to give me more poundings. Well, my friends, our wives are our conscience. Any wife keeps kosher home, does the right things, goes to the mikveh, and keeps Yiddishkeit, you can be sure that she is your conscience. She's a good person, and Hashem is speaking to her, to you, through her. Shema v'koila, and like the Radomsky Rebbe says, you can hear the sound of Kriya Shema to your wife's voice. Your wife is your conscience. Hashem is going to get to us. Hashem is very good. He doesn't let us go. Hashem is very good to us. He doesn't let us go. So I don't listen to anybody. See, I'm such a Baal Gaiva. I don't listen to my wife. I don't listen to Baal Batim. So Hashem is, I should learn Chavuz Levavus. You put a Mishagas in my head. I should learn with you people Chavuz Levavus as if I'm doing you a favor. And the Chavuz Levavus is my conscience because nobody can tell me what to do. I'm the rabbi. The rabbi is one step beneath God. So, since I'm so great, Hashem says, well, there's going to get a conscience as long as you're alive. I have Rechmanas on you. You're my, Hashem loves me more than I love myself. So he makes him learn Chavuz Levavus this Sunday morning to put me in place. But the Gan Seleb, we have to remember that this world, it's nothing, this world is mamish, takadem is a praise. It's a whole different mashal. Chazal say that Olam Haz is a prose, or it's an entrance way into the world to come. That's a very beautiful mashal. This mashal, the Chavuz Levavus, and a mashal, when it comes to mashalim, you have to speak in different times to people in a different way. So in our generation, this is a beautiful mashal, so it's a perfect mashal, the idea of traveling. We're always traveling. And travel is so much preparation involved. And we have to remember that our whole life is a traveling to Olam Haba. We have to prepare properly. It's a Meir Diga Moshel. We should remember that Moshel of the Mashgiach who had the pages. Maybe we should do that. We spend Sunday today 20,000. You know what that takes to do 20,000 pages? That's unbelievable. His whole life, every goes carrying around two trays of himself of papers. You know, that's quite a commitment to paper. That's a lot of paper. It's an amazing story. I just mama saw it in the Sefer yesterday. Amazing story. Whatever it is, we have to remember that we're Mahalchim. But the truth is, again, this is all very nice and entertaining, but it doesn't mean that much unless you're going to go home. And sometime, I hope I'll listen to myself. You listen to yourselves, and we'll spend some quality time with ourselves, thinking Emes. Chafetz Chaim, the holy Chafetz Chaim, every day went into his attic, and he didn't waste time. He spent time in his attic. He didn't waste time. He spent an hour or two talking to himself. Yisrael Meir, what's going to be with you? Yisrael Meir, soon you'll come in front of the Rabbi Yishlam. Soon you'll get the Mecheshman. This is how it became great. The Chofetz Chaim talked to himself all the time. That was his Musa Seder. It's Meirdik. He really talked to himself. Emesdik. And he gave himself Musa. But we're cowards. That's the problem. We're cowards. Chofetz Chaim was a brave man. He was brave enough to see the truth about himself. He didn't hide from it. He looked at himself. The Emes, he was not afraid to see the truth. We're cowards. We're afraid to see the emes and look at ourselves straight in the eyes of the emes about it. It's so scary that we're just. But we have to do the avodah rabbeisai. If you don't do it, you can't put it off. The April 15th is coming. The deadline is coming. Whether you like it or not, whether we like it or not, whether I like it or not, the deadline is coming. Vada, we all have to give a din v'cheshbon. If the more we do din v'cheshbon in this world, we'll do much better on the Chesh and Blessed Love. Okay, everybody. So the Chanaim, the Kashim, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Zakh, the Sol.